the relationships that we build between animals and ourselves are some of the most healing. And there's a ton of research out there that suggests, you know, they help us focus, they help improve our sense of well-being, they help us on all kinds of levels, mental, spiritual, emotional, physical. And the research is just incredibly supportive of cats in particular. Dogs also, even bunnies, even turtles. Looking at turtles and holding a turtle can be helpful. But cats in particular are incredible because of the vibrations that they create. And this is just a certain frequency, a range between a certain 25 megahertz and 125 or something like that, that is particularly healing for different physical ailments.
That is Susan Kedzie. She is an artist, a scientist, and now an author. Her first book, a children's book called 1,000 Purring Cats, has just been published, and it is available right now. Susan, where did the idea for this children's book come from?
I was going through kind of a tough time in my life, and incidentally, my mother was going through a tough time, and we were there for each other, and we went day to day, just trying to find what we could in terms of humor to help each other through it. And one day I was listening to KBXE,
yeah,
and Dr. Fox was on the phone with a woman who's very concerned about her daughter and the broken arm or leg that she had acquired, and that the cat was sneaking in the middle of the night and purring on the cast. And the daughter wasn't worried, but the mom was worried that this would somehow prevent the healing. And Dr. Fox said, no, just the contrary. He said, actually, those little vibrations are helping some micro vibrations that are healing the bone, and it's stimulating healing. And this is the weird part about how a creative person thinks, I guess, is that for me, I heard that tiny little nugget of science, and I thought, I wonder what that would be like if you could have 1,000 cats to tuck you in bed at night, and what kind of healing would that produce, maybe on more of a emotional level. And so my mom called later on that day, and she was having a rough one, and I always try to end it on a happy note, and so I jokingly said, but I think, Mom, you really need 1,000 purring cats to come tuck you into bed. And she's the one who said, there's a story there for you, and at some point I would like for you to write it and illustrate it, of course. So it took about 4 years before the story had time to percolate and come to the surface. And also I had to do some healing, I guess, before I was even ready to write it. And then once I started thinking about it, it just came out in kind of big chunks, and it was very visual from the very beginning, and it was a delight to get those images down.
Did the illustrations and the story, did they come together?
I do recall that part of this came to me at like a 4 o'clock in the morning brain dump, and it was just the core chunk of the book, and I had to work on the rest a lot before it flowed and sounded like it could be read to other people.
Right. Right, because it's a children's book, which is obviously meant to be read aloud.
Right. Yeah, so I worked on it quite a bit before I shared it with other people, and one of the reviewers said, okay, do you want me to pat you on the back and say, this is great, or do you want me to provide you with some real constructive criticism? And I'm like, well, of course I want real constructive criticism. So she said, my suggestion to you is to make sure that all of it rhymes. And that was a challenge for me because I wasn't interested in forcing it.
Yeah.
And I never considered myself a writer in rhyme. And so that was, that took a lot of discipline, I guess, to make that happen. But I think it was a great suggestion. And one of the other things that she said was, sounds funny, but it really helped. She said, dance to it. You know, so as you write this, once you've written it, you actually dance around in the living room and see if you can dance to it. And it worked for me at some point. That seemed to be what took it from, you know, just okay to something I would want to share. Part of it has always been very visual. As soon as the words came for different cats, like the pirate cat or the flying cat or whatever, I already saw them. They were just, I had to find the right animal to represent the character and then draw that animal with the different accessories. And that was really fun. And some of the cats are actually my own. And I am actually one cat shy of being a crazy cat lady.
When did you become a cat lady?
I think I've always been a crazy cat lady. My mom would say absolutely, because when I was little, I used to rescue cats from all over the neighborhood and make them become our family members. And we had a very good vet who gave us discounts because I was at it again.
Did you live in the country or near the edge of town?
We lived in Waterford, Wisconsin, in rural, you know, farm country, and people are always dropping off cats, and my heart went out to these little guys, and so
your name was around town.
Must have been. People would be like, "Drop them at the Kedzies; they'll take care of it." Yeah.
In the epilogue, you note the fact that it's about emotional healing.
Yeah.
So you want to talk a little bit about that?
So I think that part of the fact that I am a part-time substitute teacher puts me in a great position to see the next generation of kids growing up with a lot of distractions. And also, you can tell when they're probably not getting the quality time that they need in their family life. And kids are really amazing in their ability to just share with you once they trust you. And share with you what's going on. And oftentimes, I do feel like one of the things that's missing in our society is that we've lost that ability to connect with one another and just reach out and be there to listen and not judge, to put a hand on someone's back, even just a gentle touch to say, "I'm here for you." There's a lot of nonverbal communication that says, "No, you can't do that," and a lot of, you know, expectations that that's not what we do anymore. And I see kids craving that they need it. They need to feel safe. They need to feel like they have a person that they can share what's going on with. And so that's where I took the science behind 1,000 purring cats, that, you know, cats in themselves do have a lot of healing properties, but we too have so much to share that's healing, and we need to remember to take time to do that, and how to do that is just very simple. Can I share my favorite part?
You should.
The idea is that you order 1,000 purring cats from a special catalog that has a silly selection of cats to order from, and you get your first shipment, and they arrive at home, and they're getting ready to go into bed with you. So when it's late and time for bed, have them neatly brush their feet. Come crawl beneath your covers, purr you fast asleep. They'll rumble in your blankets, paw and snore upon your toes. They'll wrap around your middle, swish their tails across your nose. They'll purr you full of love, love and purr you all night through, and mend unhappy parts that are deep inside of you.
That was Susan Kedzie reading from her book, 1,000 Purring Cats. You can find the book at stores all around the Bemidji area, and you can also find it online at Barnes & Noble. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.
Sit by my window, I watch the rain. I hear it beating on my It makes me so sad that no one ever hurt this bad. My baby left me and now I'm alone. Wait for a letter.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.